What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Well, we've been looking at a very interesting series on the visionary building to last. Like I said earlier, this teaching, of course, is something that's been on my heart and is an offshoot from our Covenant Wealth Conference. And we've been looking at why it's very important as a believer that we take deliberate steps, praise God, in being fruitful. Taking our text from Genesis chapter 1. Maybe we'll turn there, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. As we read, glory to God. Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at verse 28. All right. The Bible says, concerning man, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be what? Be fruitful and multiply. Then he says, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Go to verse 26. Back up to verse 26. Amen. Okay, no, verse 28. Go to 29, sorry. 29 says, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you shall be what? For food. Then he says in verse 30, and also to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the air and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every herb for food. And it was so. So what we began to see, are we together, from scripture, is that God has a dominion plan and he desires for every person to be fruitful. And he didn't just say to be fruitful. From being fruitful, he tells us to multiply. And by multiplying, he says, then do what? Fill the earth and subdue, or have dominion. Are we together? So dominion, like we've been emphasizing in the series, in this series of teaching, is a byproduct of the process of being fruitful. Is somebody following me? The process of multiplication, the process of filling the earth. Are you getting me? So we don't start out chasing dominion. Are you with me? We don't start out saying, look, I'm going to dominate someone. I'm going to dominate this industry. I'm going to dominate this place. I'm going to dominate this sector. If you have not, first of all, gone through the process of being what? Of being fruitful. So what we seek is fruitfulness. And as we grow and as we learn to stay fruitful what we do, there's an anointing, or called the blessing, an empowerment that comes upon us for the purpose of what? Multiplying what we do. Then as we are multiplying what we do, and of course, maybe not in this series, in other series, we'll begin to see from scriptures how, first of all, after being fruitful, you need to also learn to deliberately multiply what you're doing. Are we together? And from multiplying what you're doing, then begin to think of how to fill the earth. So what we're looking at is the fact that every God-given idea has a global effect. Has a global effect. And every person can go global with anything that God has asked him to do. So if you've listened to the previous series, you see that everything that God puts in you, you must first of all learn to know your seed. What is it? You know, a lot of time people call it purpose. People call it different names, your passion. And I know that when people hear the subject of purpose, it sort of puts them off. But we must approach purpose from a grace perspective. Are we together? I've seen people doing nothing and they just say, look, I don't know my purpose and I don't know what I'm here for. I say, look, anything that gives you pleasure, and it doesn't stop at that. Anytime I say anything that gives you pleasure, people begin to wonder, all right, there are many pleasurable things. Listen, anything you do, you engage in that brings you pleasure and glorifies God is purpose. Amen. That means there are things that we enjoy doing. There are things we love to do. There are things that, there are places that when you find yourself, it's like your natural element. Am I talking to somebody? It's your place of, your zone of grace. That place where you are yourself. That place where you come alive. Are you getting me? It is your purpose in life. But you must pursue that thing in a way that brings what? Glory to God and serve a God, what? A God-ordained aim. That's just simply purpose. You love to sing. You love to cook. Amen. You love to... You don't have to start chasing some big things in defining what? Purpose. And you discover that as you stay in one place and you begin to allow the fruit to grow, the seed to grow. Am I talking to someone? It begins to unfold in different faces. It begins to show in different ways. But you discover that when you are in the place God wants you to be, you are alive. When you are in the place where God wants you to be, you know, you feel yourself. So you don't have to be boxed into some form of wild chase, saying, okay, I'm looking for my seed. No. If you look around, probably some of you, there are things you're already doing. There are things that you're already engaged in. And it's God's seed. It's God's plan for your life. But you see, like we said last Wednesday, for anything that God is giving to us, we must learn to be deliberate about it, because enterprise is is God's way to fruitfulness. That's why if you look at the parables that Jesus taught, am I talking to someone? If you look at the parables that Jesus taught, repeatedly you discover that God's plan in Genesis is still what he kept emphasizing. Jesus never celebrated unproductivity. Read scriptures. You will discover that he taught multiple ways that people could be what? Could be productive. And we're able to look at that Luke chapter 19 last week. And what did we see from that place? That was about one of the last parables Jesus told before he left his earthly ministry. And what did he say? A certain man was traveling and he called 10 of his servants and gave them what? 1 mina each. And he said, go and do what? Trade till I come. And when that man came, you know, he demanded for results. And what was Jesus teaching us there? That anything that God has given to us, anything that God has given to us, he expects us to be good stewards of it and to be fruitful and to be productive with it. But some people are like that other servant who took what he was given and did what? And buried it. How many of you know he didn't transact with it? He didn't give it commercial value. He didn't handle it in a way that could produce results. So God expects you to transact deliberately. Are you getting me? A seed in your hand doesn't produce result until it's put into the soil. And that's what we've been looking at. Taking those bold steps of faith in the direction of God's dream and vision in your heart. Say amen if you got that. So you need to be deliberate about your seeds. You need to be deliberate about the skills that God has put in your hands. And listen, you, like I said earlier, I still want to repeat it. You might say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what my skill is. Listen, if you're born again, stay in the place of fellowship. You will discover that there are things you will find yourself love doing. There are places that when you find yourself, you know that this is my place. And don't, you know, be like that servant who buries, because there are many reasons why people bury their seeds. Some bury their seeds because they are comparing it with others. They say, oh, how can that person have this? This person have this, and I'm like this. Listen, what God has given to you is perfect for you. In one of the parables Jesus taught in Matthew 24, he says to one was given what? 5 talent. Another was given what? 2. Another was given 1. Listen, whether we like it or not, there are certain things in life that are not given to us on the same level. But whatever has been given to you, you must be faithful with it. Because if you look at what Jesus taught in that parable, he was not celebrating the volume of what was produced. He was celebrating fruitfulness and faithfulness. In John 15, he says, any branch in him that does not bear fruit, what is done? It's pruned. That means constantly God is cutting us. God is constantly pruning you through the agency of his word. His word comes to you. You hear his word. He's teaching you for the purpose of what? Productivity. That means God is not going to quit on anybody. Productivity was in Genesis. Productivity was in the parables of Jesus. And you could hear it in Paul's voice when he said all he desires to stand before God, so it will be said to him, thou good and what? Faithful servant. So listen, every believer should look forward to being told, thou good and faithful what? Servant. You have to be faithful, you have to be deliberate about what you do. So don't despise what God has put in your hands. Hallelujah. Now, I was thinking about this a couple of the last few days, that success, you know, we're having a conversation the other day in church here, and I was talking to some people. I said, do you know that success is available to any person, not to the smart, not to those who are, sometimes we feel that if people are super intelligent, then they stand the greater chance of what? Of succeeding at something. But I've looked at God's word and I've looked at life. Are you with me? And I've discovered that I'm learning more that anybody can succeed. Success is not for the smart. It's not for the intelligent. Let me even put it this way. Any man who is blessed. You know what scripture says in Psalm 1 verse 3? Let's go to Psalm 1 verse 3. The Bible says, I think in Isaiah 38, that a way of holiness will be opened for and all who walk in it. Amen. He says, even the fool cannot do what? Cannot miss it. Even the fool cannot miss it. That means there are parts that God has created for us in life. That even if you put a fool on that road, hello, the person will succeed. The person will walk. Because what makes people successful at whatever they do is available. If you will just set your heart to it and just learn, regardless of where you were born, amen, regardless of your life experiences, regardless, let me add this, regardless of your CGPA, amen, regardless of where you currently are, the Bible says concerning the blessed man in Psalm 1 verse 3, he says, he shall be like a tree, what? Planted by the rivers of water. For us, that rivers of water there is the life of God, the eternal life of God. He says that brings forth its fruit in its what? Season. So if you have eternal life in you, there's no reason not to bear fruit. There's no reason not to be productive in whatever God has asked you to do. And part of this series is teaching you, are you listening to me? Is to teach you how from what you term or see as ordinary, it can become an enterprise with a global phenomenon. He says that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever, let's put whatever there. Are you getting me? Whatever. If he decides to start selling, like I always say, kose, that's beans cake. Are you getting me? If he decides to sell bread, if he decides to sell shoes, if he decides to cut hair, are you getting me? Whatever that man does prospers. That's a good place to say amen. So you don't say, this is what I love to do, but what is this? You remember Jesus' disciples? When they were in Matthew 14, they had over 5,000 people to feed, like I was sharing with you on Sunday. And Jesus said, what do you have? And they said, there's a little boy here, 5 loaves, 2 fish. But what is this among many? That's how a lot of people look at what they do and they despise it. But some of the brands that you patronize today, hello, some of the companies that are serving you today, how many of you know they are serving you some of the things you despise? They are serving you some of the things you despise. And the truth is this, hello, if you are opportune to read after some of these so-called global brands, hello, that have lasted for years, do you know there was nothing spectacular about most of them? In fact, most of them didn't even set out. And those are some of the things we'll be looking at in the course of this series. We have like 3-4 more topics under this series to go. There was nothing. Some of them just started out pursuing a dream. Are you getting me? And it has become what it has become. Because there is a myth that we must remove from our minds. There is this idea that if you don't have a golden idea, how many of you know there are some people waiting for that wonderful, powerful, bright idea that will change everything? You know, they say, I'm just waiting for one moment of intelligence or one moment. Hi, yeah, yeah. That's not how it always works. That's not how a visionary thinks. Are you getting me? Because the thing about a visionary is that he's not building for the now. He's building something that will even probably outlive him. Do I have such people here? Something that will outlive you. Something that is bigger than where you are. Can I speak to someone? He's looking for more than just moments. And this is why I want a lot of Christians to come. Because this is where a lot of Christians have been trapped in their mindset. I told you, you don't have to be extraordinary to do extraordinary things. You don't need to have extraordinary visions. You just need to start where you are. You just need to take a step of faith. That's why I love Hebrews 11. You look at Hebrews 11, you don't really see anybody there born with silver spoons in their mouth or golden spoons or wooden spoon. Nobody was born with any spoon there. The Bible says, by faith, this person did this. By faith, Noah did this. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith. That means by faith, you have a level playing ground. By faith, you can start out where you are. Was Moses not born as a slave? Look at all of Samson's issues. Hello. Yet, he made Hebrews 11. Come on, you can also make Hebrews 11. It doesn't have to be a golden idea. Hallelujah. God can take any... Look at how he spoke to Moses. When he told Moses to go and bring forth the children of Israel, he said, what is that you hold in your hands? You know, it was just a stick. It looked like a dry stick. He said, throw it to the ground. You know the things that happen. With that rod, that man brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. So what is that dry stick-like thing in your life that you're looking down upon today? It can be used. Say amen if you believe it. And like I was saying, you know, most Christians, I have noticed, are we following? Most Christians, I have noticed that, you know where they are. They're just waiting for a moment instead of building for the future. We are living our lives with what I don't know, I'm looking for the right choice of words. Where sometimes it's even how it's taught from the pulpit. Are you with me? People are told, instead of building something, we are taught to look for what? For just single moments. Single moments. So you see people waiting for years, not doing anything. And what are they saying? They say, there's a word hanging over my life. And nothing with the word. In fact, I am a bundle of testimonies and fulfillment of prophecies. But I love that scripture that says, I've been in the way the Lord led me. You have to be in the way. Some Christians just feel that they are pity. You know, they made pity parties of themselves. And especially when it comes to the area of finances, they just think that someone is just going to come one day, hello, and suddenly they are going to be in the billions. Will come one day and just get angry and say he's tired of his account. Have it. That's not how the world operates. And listen, don't get me wrong, that's not how God operates. No, I need to lay this foundation before I continue. Genesis 8:22. As I was praying this afternoon, I was just thinking, Faith Adventure has become a great meeting. People travel from all over the world to come. People come for it. This year, we're going to have another great Faith Adventure. And how did Faith Adventure start? Hello. It was a conversation. I was just praying in a bus in Makurdi on my way to from Wurukum, from high level to Wurukum, if you know Makurdi. Sitting in that bus, reading a magazine, Adventures in Faith by Jerry Savelle. And I was just reading through the teachings in that magazine. And this brilliant idea just came to my heart that it would be good to have people gather, believers gather, where we have other believers minister. Hello? And instead of having a magazine, we can have spend 3-4 days and just listen to God's word and be blessed like a believers meeting, camp meeting style. And it seemed a good thought. And I said, when I hold this meeting, I'm going to call it what? Not Adventures in Faith. I'm going to call it Faith Adventure. The only thing I removed was in. And so instead of Adventures in Faith, I'm going to call it Faith Adventure. And that's how I had the first Faith Adventure. Yes, it's always powerful. Maybe you hear a man of God say, look, I had a 14-hour vision. Nothing wrong with 14-hour vision. Nothing wrong with it. Are you with me? But see, it might not come to you in that way, but it doesn't mean that because it didn't come to you in that way, it can't be a great thing. Sometimes, are you with me? In the chase for spectacular experiences, people even miss supernatural encounters. It doesn't have to be spectacular always for it to be what? To be supernatural. I'm telling you the truth. I've had encounters, spectacular encounters. Someone say you rarely preach them. No, because I want your faith established in God's word. Because those are my dealings with God that you might never have. And I tell ministers that's how there are ways God deals with me that might not be every person's experience, but the word of God is powerful. Do you know you can stand on God's word, act upon it, and get results? Sometimes we make the word of God so simple. It's as simple sometimes as step out of the boat and come. And listen, your life will change if you can act upon that word and come out. It could just be a simple word that God has dropped in your heart. Or you just want to sell this. You want to do this. Take a step of what? Faith. The way God's word comes to you might just be like dry stick. But there are certain truths, principles. Is somebody with me? That if you follow, you will get the results that even the person who had a spectacular encounter with God got. You remember how God was dealing with Elijah? I was sharing this with you guys, I think, during the Covenant World Conference. God was dealing with Elijah about learning how to relate with people. Because Elijah was a prophet of fire, prophet of fire. And God was teaching him a very simple lesson. The Bible said there was a fire, God was not in it. Earthquake, God was not in it. Whirlwind, God was not in it. Until there was a still small voice. Elijah still didn't get the message. What was God teaching him? That it's not every time I speak in fire, speak through earthquake, speak through thunders. There are times when I'm just talking in a still small voice. And if you hear it, people hear it that way. And when you go, you don't have to thunder it upon them. You can tell them in a still small voice and they will get it. But Elijah wouldn't change. And God said, okay, go ahead and ordain who? Elisha or Elisha to stand in your place. There are things, this is what I just want to get to somebody today as you are listening to me. There are things God is stirring your heart. They might not be spectacular. They are powerful. It could be as simple as you love to dance. It could be an academy that can change the world. I think the British Royal College of Arts, I've forgotten the full name. It was just someone's idea. It's someone's passion. The same way you like to dance is what someone took deliberate steps. The person might not even be more intelligent than you. As a matter of fact, there's a survey that shows that ideas that are always very, very big and bright don't last a particular market season. But companies that have stood through the years, are you getting me? It's just a product of consistency. Are you getting me? And staying with what the core of their mission and vision was and just following through. There were not people that even had exceptional leadership qualities. Are you getting what I'm saying? So don't beat yourself and say, well, I might not be a good leader. You will develop along the line. Do you know when God called Moses, he didn't know how to talk? He was not lying. When he was saying, I don't know how to talk. He was not lying. It was a real challenge. But have you ever imagined how that man never had to complain again? Aaron didn't speak for him throughout his ministry. He stepped out. And what happened to him? That man could write the constitution of a whole nation, set up structures. Listen, you stand a very good ground in Christ Jesus to be everything that God has designed for you to be. You know, this week is a week of righteousness consciousness. You need to understand this, that God made him to be sin, who knew no sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says that what? The righteous is what? As bold as a lion. He's the evil man who is running when no one pursues him. But the righteous man can take bold steps. If you understand righteousness, you can never be defeated. Say amen. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Don't worry, I'm still talking about the four little things. But I want to lay this foundation before I talk about the other two. Remember last week we talked about the ants and we talked about the rock badgers. Amen. We're going to look at the other two today, but I want to lay this foundation. Are you with me? Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hello? Give me that same scripture, Ephesians 2:10. Give it to me in the Amplified Translation. Can I ask a question? How difficult is it to live here to Makurdi? It's as simple. You have your car. You want to get to Makurdi. Would you agree with me that it's easier to go to Makurdi today than it was probably 200 years ago? Why is it easier? There's a road. But I'm sure 200 years ago, people probably had to trek. And I'm sure 200 years ago, if they were talking about Makurdi from Gboko, which is about 75 to 80 kilometers, right? If they're talking about it probably 200 years ago, they'll be talking about Makurdi like another kingdom. And I'm sure anybody who journeys to Makurdi and sees the river and comes back will be treated like a what? Like a hero. But that has changed. People explored, right? And then they made a way. And over the years, there's a road. Right now, if you want to go to Makurdi, nobody even sees you as a hero. Because once you get into your car, you drive to Makurdi and come back. Maybe, I'm not saying that's what it used to be. Maybe 200 years ago, if you went to Makurdi and you came back, they made you king. But as you go to Makurdi and come back, they just say, welcome. You came back so soon. Are you me? There's a road. It's easy. Now, if you've never been to Makurdi, it's as simple as asking, where is the road to Makurdi? You get it now. Where is the road to Makurdi? You don't have to start thinking of how to make your own road to go to Makurdi. See, listen to me. God has created a pathway that anybody can succeed. And all you need to do is trust the Spirit of God. And these things are in plain sight, you can see. That if you begin to troll those paths, you will certainly get to the places that God has designed for you in terms of fruitfulness, in terms of multiplication, filling the earth, and dominating. And those of you listening to me, I just want to assure you, and I'm telling you, that as you stay with these truths, you are expanding on all sides. Amplified Translation says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works. How many of you know it's not bad works? It's not a call to struggle. It's like Jesus is saying, I have made the road. These are the paths. Walk in them. That's why I've been recreated. God has put you on a path that you are not starting from failure into success. You start from the standpoint of success. Hallelujah. Which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking parts. Tell your neighbor, take the parts. So he said, taking parts which he prepared ahead of time. He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So I'm taking my part. So the first thing I want you to understand tonight is that you must have the mentality of a builder, not just an opportunist. As a visionary, are you getting me? You must see past where you are right now. You must see past your immediate environment. Are you with me? You must see past the job that is bringing you a salary. You have to start thinking, what can I build? What can I leave? You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 13. Okay, turn there. Proverbs 13. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 13, verse 22. Yeah, 22. The Bible says, a good man does what? Leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Listen, what is the definition of a good man? He's thinking two generations away. A good man is not just thinking about the Sami generation. My first son is Sami. Amen. I'm not just thinking about Sami. The Bible says, if you talk about a good man, he's seen past the generation after him. He's seen the generation after that generation. If a generation is 40 years, according to the Bible, two generations are how many? 80 years. From where you stand, are you ready to build something that will last 80 years after you? Maybe that is not associated with your family. Maybe that's not associated with your community, but you can start it. I know I'm talking to someone. He said he leaves an inheritance to his children's children. He says, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Hi, have you ever thought of this? Why do you say this wealth of the sinner? Because the sinner does not think building. The sinner just thinks about now. And you shouldn't be like the sinner. You should be someone who is thinking about living for something bigger than the now. I told you the other time I was looking at a study on visionary companies. And guess what they said about visionary companies? They say sometimes one of the ways you notice visionary companies is that the rival companies that start with them, are you getting me, often even hit profits earlier and faster than them. But guess what? At the long run, when those other companies are fizzled out, visionary companies remain. And those are some of the things I was studying. What makes these companies last? Do you know in Nigeria, we hardly have companies indigenous that last over 100 years? Sometimes people start, you know, just getting money from any source. Money is not business. Money is not vision. Hello. I know some of you just think that if someone can just give me 2 million, capital has come. You know, capital is 2 million naira is no capital. We've seen people who have built shops that are empty. Driving to cities and you see hotels. Hello. And you say, look at that beautiful hotel. How come nobody's going there anymore? They say they are looking for the latest one. You know what people think? Amen. They think, most people who own businesses think that the customers have a problem. See, brand is not complimentary card. A brand is not AC. Some people, when they say they are branding a place, they say, I'm going to build this shop. And when I build this shop, there are going to be 3 ACs here. There are going to be... You can as well open a cold room. But let me tell you something. You know what a brand is? A brand is how people perceive you. What do you represent? It's perception. It's the people's perception that makes you a brand. It's not what you impose on them. That's why I remember, even in the wake, there was a time where there was like a revolution and new banks were springing up in the country. Do you know that some of these old banks, most people still trusted them and kept their money there and did business with them? You know why? They were a brand. Though Union Bank has decided to get a younger horse. Are you with me? But they didn't go to get an eagle. There was something that horse represented. Are you getting me? There was a value system that has been created over the years. I pray somebody's getting what we're saying. But you see, when some of those banks came at first, how many of you remember? When those banks came, they were giving all manner of products. You know, they were flashy things. You know, they just had all these. A lot of them, there are grass growing in front of those banks right now. Because that's not a vision. You must be able to see beyond where you are. I know I'm talking to someone. He leaves an inheritance. He leaves. You are thinking about leaving something. And it doesn't matter your age. Where you are right now, maybe you are good at fixing things. Maybe you are good at repairing things. Oh, listen. You can leave something out of that thing that you're doing for your children's children. I didn't hear you say amen. So think building. Think about building something. And listen, why people hate building is because building takes time. Building takes time. Building takes time. It requires patience. The word patience is one word Christians don't like, but it's all over scriptures. Where I ask you to turn to in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, God has set in motion, are you listening to me? The principle of seed, time, and harvest. Why? There will be time to see the harvest of every seed sown. Anything you're doing right now, if you are building something, you're not being in a hurry. I put a post recently on Facebook on Monday. And I was, you know, some people were asking me, okay, Pastor, you mean we shouldn't run to come first? Scripture did not say we should run to come first. It said we should run to win. There are two different things. Is this idea of running to come first that has put people into competitions that are not necessary? trying to compete, how is that person doing, you know? So you use other people to measure your level of success. Listen to me, it's not what people think about you. Where are you personally? And my work here is not to compete with any person. My work here is to compete with Arome. That Arome tomorrow will be a better version of Arome yesterday. So what drives me is to be who God wants me to be and be everything he has designed for me to be. Are you listening to me? Not to ask, how is Simon doing? Then I begin to do this. Listen, if you are competing with people, there will always be someone who is better than you. So Paul's focus was not about competing with someone. Was to always be what? Be better. We are not disciplining ourselves. I was talking to a young man a few days ago. I said, look, there's something about doing something because of people's expectation and doing something because you have to do it. I mean, there are two different things. For example, you say, I'm going to be there. You could be there just because you don't want that person to be disappointed in you. Good enough. But you have to go past doing things or developing, trying to develop values based on people's expectation. Hello? To come into a place where those values become your personal values. I am there because I said I will be here. Did you get it? I am here because I said I'll be here. I'm doing this because it's what I want to do. Not just because I want you to have a picture of me. Recently, I saw a quote that Kanye West, something he said, and someone copied it and posted it. I said, this can't be further from the truth. He said, this generation is more interested in appearing successful than being successful. A lot of people just want to have that, you know, that there is this image the world has presented that you have hammered. So people prefer to appear hammered rather than really having the hammer. If you are watching from around the world, hammer means to to break out. In Nigeria here, we say to blow out. You know, some people just want to appear like they've blown. So you see people snapping pictures of who they are not. That's not faith. That's not what I think. They are not building anything. They're just, it's about imaging. There's a way they want people to do what? To see them. But the issue is not how do people see you. It's that you should be who people see you as. It's not just trying to appear like something. It's to be that thing. Am I talking? And in being that thing, you need to build. So I'm building. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I know somebody is listening today. Proverbs 24, verse 3. So build. And you need patience. If you are a visionary, sometimes you look like others are going fast, but that's not what you are chasing. You are living for a cause, not for a moment. Say amen. And let me tell you, church, we are changing the face of this country. I didn't hear. You are changing the face of your communities. You are living a legacy. You are living your life bigger than the moment. Do you know when David went on that field to confront Goliath? Do you know he was not just there? I've thought about this time without number. David was not just there for the reward. Of course, the reward was part of it, but that's not why he was there. Hello. David didn't, of course, he asked, what will be given to the man who brings down this infidel? He asked such questions. Remuneration. But that was not the core of him going out to fight Goliath. Somebody said, what was the core? You could hear it in his first question when he got to the field. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that there defies the army of the host of Israel? That means as far as he was concerned, Goliath was a reproach. Whether they paid him or not, Goliath was a reproach. He was a reproach. This ought not to be so. That is why when his brothers were trying to pick on him and saying, you saucy kid, what have you done here? You know, people will always try to put you down. Come on, they always try to put you down. You know what they told David? Have you finished looking after the sheep? Imagine somebody came and he's trying to fight war and they are reducing him to shepherd at all cost. And that's how people are. They will always try to make you see why you are small. And David, you know what David said? He said, is there not
A cause, is there not a reason? That means as far as, why is somebody not steady in his heart? Why can't somebody see that this is a reproach? That means the God's cause, hello, was bigger than the remuneration. Was bigger than the profit. He wasn't going there to marry Saul's daughter. Whether Saul's daughter was given or not, are you with me? Goliath was going to go down. And listen to me. If you are a visionary, your primary focus will not be money. Is that there will be something your heart yearns for that you see that you will pursue. Those are visionaries. I know some say, my problem is money. No. Pursue a cause. Build for a cause. You know why? People who build for a cause end up having more money than those who chase money. They end up having more money, control more resources, have more influence. Live for a cause. Some pastors have left their cause in chase of what? Money. And like Paul said, they've pierced themselves with what? With many sorrows. Live for a cause. You will not lack money. I told you on the, I think the second day of this series, I was telling you that one of the things they've noticed with visionary companies is that they have a core value, a core cause, a core purpose that they chase, not money. And guess what? They have more money than rival institutions that are trying to make money the objective. A lot of pastors are poor because they are not pursuing the call. What are they pursuing? They're pursuing money. And you see them, you say, what is the biggest problem in ministry? They say, no, pastor. Is there anybody that will say the biggest problem in ministry is not money? And it's so sad. A lot of people feel their biggest problem is money. Check your life. Haven't you had money time without number? By now, you should realize it's not your biggest problem. You're just living for the now. Something should consume you that you are building. Say amen. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Through wisdom, a house is built. That means wise people build. Christ has been made wisdom to us so that we can build. And building requires patience. Even if they give you all the resources, do you agree with me? Let's say they give you all the money, give you all the skilled laborers, and give you all the people. You will all agree with me, hello, that you will still require time to bring to pass whatever you see in the architect's drawing. There must be time. There's time. Even if someone told me, these days, there are houses that are built, then they come and couple them. Time was taken in building it. Time is a constant. And you need to see this. Listen, if you start out in faith and certain things don't go as planned, don't get angry. It's proof that you are doing the right thing. Nobody ever comes to share a testimony of their baby who started walking after 2 days of birth. If you have a baby that started walking 2 days after you had that baby, will you be coming here to testify? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I just want to share. I have a miracle baby at home. They say, what's the miracle baby? Do you know that baby I had 2 days ago? The baby woke up to me in the morning. And the baby even called me, mommy. Oh, finally I'm a mommy. Are you going to say that? Won't you be perplexed? Are you going to stand up and say, whoa! Jesus has appeared to me. Some of you will even will go to some places and ask for deliverance. Say, nobody shall steal my baby's future in the name of Jesus. Nobody shall steal my baby's future. You know what? There's an expectation. It's not because anything is wrong with the baby. The baby falling down is nothing wrong. So you started out in a business, you tried this, it didn't work, you did this, it didn't work. Hear me, it doesn't mean anything is wrong with you. It means you are going through a process. And don't despise process. I did a series I think 3 years ago, Faith Over Faith. I mean, if you remember that series, I want you to go and listen to it. We're talking about process. Process is not wrong. See, anything that has God in it, you will see process in it. Who through faith and patience. And I'm only looking, any story that is called success story, I want to see faith. I want to see what? Patience. See, no matter how beautiful your business plan is, when you hit the road running, there will be some things that were not in the plan. Even if you are perfect and your business plan is perfect, you'll be working with people who are not what? Perfect. Even if those people are perfect, you'll be working in an imperfect system. And you need to just enjoy the moment. You know, the problem with most people is that they relegate their joy. They put their joy at the back. They relegate their victories. They wait. They don't know how to celebrate from the start. You know, if you have rejoiced in something before you started, whatever happens in the way, it's just part of the process. And joy gives you the energy to go through it. You opened your shop first day, no customer came. 2 days, two customers came. Then one day you had 10. Then after a while, all of them, something happened. Maybe you didn't deliver on a good product. They said they are not coming again. Rejoice. You see, if you understand that you can never fail, nobody will determine how you feel about what you're doing. There were days when we opened, when we started church, and we'll come, I'll preach a very powerful message, and we'll be four in church, four. If you're not careful, those are the moments the devil will tell you are cursed. Why are you cursed? The people didn't come, you came. One day someone was telling me, say, Pastor, nothing's working in my life, nothing's working in my life. Even my car is not working. I said, but you are working. You are working. You are very alive. You are working. I got up one morning, my car refused to start. I just started going. They said, where are you going? I said, I'm going where? I said, I'm going. They said, well, I said, I'm going to take a bike and go. He said, Pastor, you, I said, it's the bike that did, that is the car that did not start. I started. You must learn to isolate yourself from your troubles. It's part of the process. You know why? There's a place you started. There's a place you are destined to go to. Keep that in focus. Are you with me? You must keep that in focus. And don't be like King Hezekiah, whose ship was wrecked in his first voyage. And he said, look, I'm done with it. I'm not taking a shot at it again. Take another shot. Say amen. So the Bible says, through wisdom, a house is built. Jesus said this same truth also in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. To what will I liken a wise man? Are you getting me? To what will I liken a wise man? He says, a wise man, Matthew 7, 24, is a man who does what? Who hears these sayings of mine and does them. That means the purpose of Jesus' saying is so that you can build something. So look at your life. What are you building? Or are you just living for a moment? I know one day. That one day is today. I didn't hear you say amen. That one day is today. That's why if you look at visionaries, their stories seem to be consistent. And can I speak to someone? The Bible is a book of visionaries. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. The Bible says, for whatever things were written before, were written for our what? Our learning. That we, through the patience and comfort of scriptures, might have hope. Why is the Bible talking about patience? Why is scripture telling us what Joseph went through, what Abraham went through? Hello? What Moses, is it to bore you? No. It's not. When you look at it, you can locate yourself in those experiences and then have hope that there's a way they all ended and yours is not going to be different. So learn to build. Learn to build that shop. You might say, oh, I just have a laundry shop, you know, just here. See, build that thing you're doing. I just love to cook. Build it. And be patient. Say amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. Quickly. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. So what am I saying tonight? Believers need to learn to build and to be patient. Building requires time. Visionaries are builders. They are not 419ers. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. Could you give me the message translation? So my dear Christian friends, like all of you listening to me, companions in following this call to the heights, tell your neighbor, follow your call to the heights. He said, take a good, hard look at Jesus. He's the centerpiece of everything we believe. Like Face to Face led us in worship today. He's the center. Look at him. Look at what scripture says in verse 2. Faithful in everything. Did you see that? Faithful in everything God gave him to do. Why? Faithfulness is required to build. Faithfulness is required. Visionaries are faithful. See, I'd rather celebrate a story of someone, are you getting me, who has stayed at something for a period of time and have results to show, than someone, are you getting me, that jumps out of the blues overnight and they say overnight success. Gloria Kumplas and a man met them and said, suddenly, you and Kenneth are everywhere. Your success is overnight. She said, yes. It's just that the night was long. See, it was a long night. I want to hear such people. Amen. Pastor Chris Oyakilomi said, there were times when the nights were cold and long. So nothing is wrong with you. But it's faithfulness. The Bible says, take a hard look at Jesus. Faithful in everything God gave him to do. You know what? You need to be faithful. See, building can be boring. Because you are repeating, sometimes you are just repeating one process over and over. You lay one block, you put the mortar, you wait, you lay. I was telling some people in the office the other day, I say, if you hate routines, you can't be successful. You need to love routines. You need to love to, you do one thing, you wait, you get up tomorrow again, you do it, you just love it. You have to nurse what God has given to you. Stay at it. The Bible says Jesus was faithful. He will preach. Have you read the story of Jesus? Read through the Gospels. He said, let's go to the other city that I might do what? That I may preach. They just rejected him in this city. He said, let's go to the next city. He didn't say, Father, take me home. I'm not supposed to be here. No. He was building something. So a customer rejected you. You say you are cursed. The Bible says, faithful in everything. Say, Moses was also faithful. Hi. Next week, I'm going to come to this scripture. The Bible says, Jesus was faithful. Moses was faithful. Meaning that regardless of the purpose, regardless of the purpose, if you stay faithful, you will arrive at something. If you are an intelligent, skillful person who is not faithful, the other person who is not skillful, hello, who is diligent, will arrive at where he's going. So it's not about skill. Those things are inborn. They are innate. Faithful in everything God gave him to do. Look at verse 3 now. Hebrews 3. But Jesus gets far more honor. You see, a builder is more valuable than a building any day. True or false? A builder is what? More valuable than a building. So how many of you are builders? So I'm a builder. Christ Family Ministry is not competing with anybody. We are inspired by a different ministry, but we're not competing with anybody. We have our cause. There's something has asked us to do. And guess what? We are building. Some people's race is 100 meters dash. So they are gold medal, they can collect it. In fact, how long does it take to run 100 meters dash? I think the fastest, what's the world record? Don't tell me lies, right? You say? 10.2? 9.6? 9.2 seconds. Wow! 9.2 seconds, that's some speed. 100 meters. Some of you don't even know what I'm saying. You don't have any form of training. You don't know what I'm saying. He said, you know, but that's what it takes to run the 100 meters dash. 9.2 seconds from zero start, you're at 100 meters. Wow. That's some speed. I didn't say 9.2 minutes. I know for some of you, 100 meters is not a dash. Are you getting me? 100 meters is a long distance race. But, you know, for professional athletes, that's 9.2 seconds. But your life's race is not 9.2 seconds. For some, it's just they are more interested in the gold medal after 9.2 seconds. Sometimes if you are running a marathon, you need... See, people who run marathons don't do a dash. They know where they are going. See, stay on the way. Come on, stay on the way. Stay with that thing you're sewing. You're a fashion designer. Make the first design. Somebody will come. You know, probably your first design, they say, wow, this is lovely. You discover that maybe your first 10 design, when they look at it, they say, what are you trying to do? Is this for masquerade? Listen, people have their opinions about everything, but stay at it. Be in the way. You are building. I heard the first movie that Walt Disney produced was a colossal mess. I think it was titled Alice in Cartoon Land, something like that. Not in Wonderland, Cartoon Land. The movie was just a total wreck. In fact, and they had put a lot of time and money into it. Meanwhile, Columbia Pictures were outstanding. Today, what Walt Disney does, Columbia is not there. But they just stayed at it. They just stayed at it. It's over 100 years now, and they are standing strong. Look at what they've done. They have all kinds of parks, all kinds of amusement places. They have all kinds of resorts. A builder is more valuable than a building. Look at what the Bible says in verse 4. Quickly. Every house has a what? A builder. Hi. Every vision has a builder. Every community has a builder. Can I ask you a question? Are you that builder? And if you notice consistently through scriptures, what the Bible says about the righteous man is that while others are fading, he will still be bearing fruit. That's because they are building. I see sector holders listening to me. Men of influence. You are living past the now. It is of such men that scripture says the memory of the just is what? Is blessed. See, don't ever allow anybody despise you because of your youth. Because you are walking, they don't even know what you are building. Keep moving. You are like the ant. Remember the ant? Have you ever seen an ant standing in one place? Ever seen an ant that is resting? No. Have you ever seen an ant and if it's resting, it's dead. It's moving. Ants are moving. They say, be like the ants. They lay up their food. That means they have foresight. There's something that is always driving them. Something should always drive you. Something should drive you. Every house has a builder. But the builder behind them all is God. You know the experience some Christians go, they say it's God that builds anything. So anyhow we do things. Are you getting me? That's not how it works. God is the builder of all things. True or false? But each specific thing, God requires men to build. He empowers men to build. Are you with me? So let me ask you, what are you building? What are you working on? You might call it another name. You might call it career. What's the career? What are you living for? Are you just living to have money and then buy two cars? You know, some people, that's where their life ends. They buy two cars, one for themselves, one for their wives. Are you getting me? Or for their wife. And then their dog. You can't wait to have your chihuahua. Is that all? Is that all you're living for? How many of you ever watched Coming to America? You know, and you see where Lisa's father was trying to talk to Akeem. You remember the part where he was talking to Akeem? When Akeem came to the house and he discovered who Akeem was. And he was just trying to tell Akeem that if you work so hard, one day you can have this for yourself. Because he had a restaurant. He didn't know where Akeem was coming from. And that's how some people try to advise you in life. Some old men, when they have retired to just their benefits, are you with me? And they have only one house. They have only one, you know, they have this beautiful house by Lakeside. And they just create a picture and tell you that you can retire at 42. You know, there was an advert like that, something pensions, you know, that at the age of 42 you have retired. I say, what are you retiring from? What have you done that you are retiring? Every house has a builder. Build something. Be a visionary. See what God wants you to see. Build at it. Stay at it. It might look right now like everybody's running ahead. Hello? Don't be in a competition, though. Stay your course. Keep building. Keep getting better at who you are. Whatever you've done, don't accept it as the absolute. Say amen. So let's round up. Proverbs 30. So, did we get this? Did you get something out of this tonight? Proverbs 30, 24. Hallelujah. There are four things which are little on the earth. You see, I told you, it doesn't matter your size. Nothing is insignificant. That's why the Bible wanted to show you. If he used the leopard or he used the lion, those big cats, he would have said, wow. But look, he said, there are four little things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. Oh, I love this. And he says in verse 25, the ant are a people not strong. See, I likens them. Yet they prepare their food when? In the summer. Foresight. Vision. See, what we're just saying. That's how the ants are. You are the one who thinks that the ant is doing nothing. Every ant's movement has a direction. All is not moving for moving's sake. There's a place they are headed. Sometimes I look at ants and say, what are they doing? Until you go and see where they've been storing their food. I told you, what are you planting today? What you are planting today is tomorrow's harvest. Be willing to plant. If you have to read, read. If you have to go to school, do what? Go to school. You are a visionary. If you have to apprentice under someone, apprentice. Always seeking to improve yourself. Planting, planting. Rather than getting angry at your uncle. My uncle is rich, but he doesn't help anybody. Very rich. He has never helped anybody. In fact, even if he helps people, he's foolish help. Listen to me. That is a defeated mentality talking. Don't ever see yourself as a victim of life. No, you didn't hear me. Let me say it again. Don't ever see yourself as a victim of life. If the devil gets you stuck in that place, you are defeated. Hallelujah. So what is the story about the ants? Preparation. Learn to prepare. Learn to plant. Number two. Amen. So store food for the summer. Number two, verse 26. The rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. And that's what says, they make their homes in the what? In the rocks. And we saw this last Wednesday. We say, what is the wisdom of the rock badgers? Protection. They know how to stay inside the rock, not on the rock. And we said, the rock is Christ. Is that not what scripture says? You must find yourself located in an anointing. A lot of people don't like saying this, but see, you need a church that you are committed to, that shapes your values. Say amen. You need to have men in your life who speak words over your life. Isaiah 32. You know, some people start business, they venture into things, and they don't know how to connect to graces. They don't know how to trade what they have for graces. You know, it's powerful if a man of God puts his hand upon you and blesses you and speaks over you before you start anything. Not when you start running into issues, then you start. No. Be deliberate and strategic about what you are doing. Isaiah 32, let's read it quickly. Be secure in an anointing. The Bible says, behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. And look at what it says in verse 2. A man will be what? As a hiding place from the wind. And a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That means the anointings are when you seek. You don't need to be too intelligent to succeed in business if you are connected to an anointing. Hi. Someone was telling me how he met some. There's a big corporation, an oil company, and some of their they had some of their people from outside the country, and he was supposed to talk to them, so they were around. And you know, he said he met with them and he was talking to them. I said, he started telling him, these people are no more intelligent than me, because after interacting with them, you will expect to hear some very, you know, mind-blowing. He said, as he was talking to them, he said, look, these were not better than me. Not like they even know better than me. The race is not to the swift. Battle is not to the strong. Bread is not always to men of skill. It's not too much knowledge. Knowledge has its place. But when you stay inside the rock, listen, no competitor can pick on you and win you. There is something that about the anointing that gives you superiority in your sphere of operation. And that's why almost every brand you see, there is a place they find their security. Either in God or the devil. There's a place they worship. Stay inside your own rock. Say amen. Be like the rock badger. He's not strong, but he understands that if I enter inside this rock, you can't come here. Glory to God. And that rock is the anointing. That rock is the anointing. Proverbs 18, the name of the Lord, the Bible says what? Is a strong tower. The righteous man does what? Runs into it and is what? Saved. Hallelujah. Are we together? Relate with the anointed. Relate with your church. Be involved. Be involved. Be involved in the push of the gospel. Be involved. I'm not saying after a message like this, you make it a lifestyle. Don't stay on the rock. I say stay where? In the rock. Hallelujah. Did we get it? Then the third one is what? Go back to Proverbs. Amen. Go back to Proverbs. Now, verse 27. What is the third one? The locust. See, the locusts have no king, yet they all advance in what? In ranks. You know the lesson about the, I said the lesson about the ant is what? Is what? Is vision. Praise God. I say it's vision. We are seeing their preparation. The lesson about the rock badger is what? Protection. The lesson of the locust is partnership. They all advance in what? In ranks. Locust, there's no king, but they understand partnership. They fly together. See, no man is an island. There is nothing that you are building today that is independent of people. I was sharing with a brother today. You know, people who think of eating alone never have enough to eat. When you think of how many people can eat, you will always have more than enough to eat. You say you want to build a particular firm, and guess what? You are the general secretary. You are the this. You are the that. You are not. You know. You are everywhere. Fruitfulness does not mean you have multiplied. You know what multiplication is? Replicating your results in different places while you are in one place. We'll come to that. You must learn to multiply. That's partnership. That's what the locust. You know, if you see one locust, it looks helpless. But let them come together and visit your farm for 3 minutes, and you will know you have been visited. Because they understand the power of what? Partnership. In partnership, we do more. We do more together than alone. Find your company. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Quickly. Ecclesiastes 4, 9. The Bible says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. Two are always better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. Next verse, verse 10. It says, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Then verse 11 says, again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? So there are things you can't do alone. There are things you must do in partnership. And see, that thing that you are starting out, begin to know that from that, know that what you are doing cannot be done alone. And you need other people to be involved. The other day, we had some people who were laying blocks here, and I was looking at them. And, you know, this guy came. One of the days they couldn't come to lay the block. I said, the guy who mixes the sand for them couldn't make it. And I said, wow, see the power of partnership. Are you getting me? To mold one block, three people have to come. Because what are they doing? There's someone who mixes the sand. There's another person who helps him lift it. Do you know it's something he can do alone? But probably in a day, he might not be able to lay the number of what? Of blocks. In partnership, you multiply strength. And that's why, even if you don't have power to start employing people right now, can I speak to you? Learn to begin to working team. If you are a good team player, it will be easy to lead a team. People who fight teams and become the discordant note in teams eventually find it difficult to lead teams. Be a good team player, then you'll be a good team leader. Learn to appreciate the input of people. It's not, you see, that's why I said success is available to anybody. It's not a hard thing that there is something in your assignment that only what certain people can supply that you don't have. Let me read this last scripture. We'll do the last one next week. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Without partnership, you can't have bread to eat. Without partnership, you can't create. Without partnership, you can't birth things. The Lord God said, it is not good that man, put your name there. Come on, put your name.
It is not good that man should be alone. I know when some people read that scripture, the only thing that comes to mind is, I need a wife now. But there are deeper layers of meaning to that. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper, what? Comparable to him. Now, you know the interesting thing about that word comparable? Can I talk to someone? The word comparable there is from the Hebrew word neged. It means opposite, stark opposite, negative. So God did not say, I'm going to make a man, I'm going to make a woman for him, I'm going to make a helper that looks exactly like him. You know why? Likes don't birth things. Two men, if they like, they should kiss themselves all they want. Are you getting me? Buy rings for themselves all they want. The other hand should change his hair all he wants. They cannot create anything. The woman is not meant to be like the man. If you like, walk like one. Are you getting me? Talk like one. I think I'm a woman. It doesn't change anything. If there are two men cannot have a child. That's how God designed it. Now, what is that teaching us? That if you are going to bring out anything, if you are going to bring out products, you will require what? People. That's why the people that you work with sometimes are called counterparts. Counterparts. They are parts of you that are not the same. Learn to start celebrating differences and appreciate how people are different from you, and then you'll be amazed at what you can bring out. I hope I'm getting plenty of amens there. But the truth, you are quiet, you need some noisy folks around you. You are noisy, you need some quiet people. And let me add, you are stingy, you need some generous people around you too. Hallelujah. But the strength of the locust is what? Is partnership. Understand the power of partnership. Father, we give you praise. Lift your hands tonight wherever you are.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.